Welcome to Ascension Day, a Gene Steeler cult podcast. Today is part one of the Codex review, and I got with me today Danny Porter. Danny, how's it going, man?
It is going all right for a Wednesday afternoon in 30 degree heat, but we are alive.
Yep. Yep. Oh yeah, I feel that. I'm it's like 98 degrees Fahrenheit where I'm at right now.
I don't know what that is in Celsius. See, we use proper measurements.
It's hot. We're both sweating right now. It's hot too. So like I said, today I know a lot of people have been kind of waiting for this, you know. I know people have been kind of thinking like, oh, maybe we're behind the curve a little bit, but you know, I'm really happy that we kind of waited till, I know both you and I have been getting some games in, and now that we have proper points, you know, we've been actually able to get a balanced look at this army. So I'm really excited to be able to just talk about like what we think the army is actually going to do and how it's actually going to perform. I said, this is going to be part one. So today we are going to specifically be talking about Host of Ascension and Outlander Claw detachments. Part two will be this weekend, where I'm going to have the illustrious TJ Lanigan and Alex McDougall on, where we will talk about the remaining three detachments. Overall, Danny, how are you feeling about GSC as a faction?
For me, it's kind of a mix. Like, I like that the shooting is no longer the strongest element. I like that the melee has become a thing now, which is what we had in the Ninth Codex, right? We had the most really fun codex, really fun detachments, playstyles. Melee was a thing. Twisted Helix, Muscle Beach, it was amazing. And then they sort of dial that down, obviously, when you've got the one detachment, only one player style is really going to come out of it, even though it's meant to be generalist. But the melee profiles just weren't it. They weren't really a thing in the index. They got buffed up massively, I would say. And then the shooting got dialed down. So now we've got a bit more of a balanced perspective. So I think both, there's a variety of play styles, which I like. What I hate, and is this child friendly, or can we swear?
No, you could say whatever you want, man. It's
okay. I fucking hate the army rule. I can't. Yeah. Like, the last five games, I've resurrected two units. Like, it's so stupid that Games Workshop have kept this in, despite how. Yeah, we'll get into that later. But I fucking hate it.
But other than that,
I like the playstyles. I like what it offers. I think it's quite fun. I think you won't get bored so soon, I would say. So it offers it's a good balanced codex, I would say. What do you think?
So like many people, like when the leaks start coming in, and you know, when the whole codex out leak, I had like a solid week of like not pleased, you know what I mean? Especially because like this was on the back of GSC being like a 45% win rate as an index, you know, between 45% and 48%, it would kind of hover around. I know like right before the codex came out, we had a few like pretty good runs, but so going from that, and then especially being paired alongside sisters, that was like, oh, that was such a fucking gut punch. But
I feel you.
It is like, come on, guys. But I see, like, it took some games, it took some reps, but it's like I'm starting to see now there is a bit of beauty in this codex, in the sense that, yeah, the teeth got pulled out of neophytes, of acolytes, of like aberrants a bit, you know. It got pulled out, but it got distributed into the actual detachments, where it's like, yes, neophytes aren't just a generally good unit anymore. Like But in Host of Ascension, they could do really, really good things. And then Acolytes aren't just a general, you know, good unit, but like in Xenocreed or even with bombs still in Claw, like I'm sure we'll talk about, they could still do really, really, really good things. So it's like I see that now. It's now how that power is distributed, you know, like that could be up to up for contention. But I think what you kind of hit the nail on the head of, like, is a balance codex. Is a very, like, you can't just be like, I'm going to run this in the melee detach in Brood Surge. Like, I'm just going to run, like, Primus Neophytes in Brood. Like, no, because it just, there's nothing in Brood Surge that's giving you an incentive to do that. I mean, maybe, like, with the Infiltrate. But, you know, like, in terms of a shooting platform, there's nothing that it gives you to, like, so I think that it took, for me, and I know a lot of people, it took a lot of us by surprise, but now, like, I am a lot happier with the codec than, like, how I initially was. Now, by no means, I don't think that this is, you know, going to be, like, a codex that's just gonna go on a tear and win multiple, you know, GT size events, but I think winning a GT with GSC is absolutely, like, achievable. I don't know, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to dominate the meta, and I don't particularly think the meta is going to have to shift to accommodate GSC. There's just not enough players, just not that strong. But I do think it's got enough in it that if you're a good player and you're really dedicated, you can definitely do some things. You can definitely win a GT. You can definitely make your impact. So that's a positive. Like, for example, if you look at Custodes now, people are really struggling to win with Custodes before they got their buff. I don't think that's the case with GSC. I do think it's not in the greatest position ever. Other armies, but with some point changes, maybe a data site where they perhaps fine-tune the army ability, then you are looking, it could become, go from, let's say, high B tier to S tier very quickly because of how good some of the detachments are, the strats, a little bit about how good some of the profiles are in some of those detachments. So I think they need to be very careful. I do think it needs buffs, but I also do think you can overbuff it if you don't think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, if they bring Aberrants to, like, 20 points a model, then all of a sudden, like, people are spamming, like, Brood Surge and, like, just flooding the board with just shit tons of melee or like, Acolytes with Hand Flamers, you know, then all of a sudden Xenocreed is just running people over. So, yeah, I definitely agree. Like, and I know, like, Innes has talked about this a lot. Like, GSC has always been one of those very, very, very difficult to, like, perfectly balance armies. I mean, I thought in ninth they did a pretty good job, but, like, even then, like, there were times where, you know, Twisted Helix and Pauper Princes could, like, just went on tears. I definitely agree. Like, it a little bit of love would definitely help. Just fucking, like, any other army rule would have been great, but whatever, it exists. I'm sure we're just gonna have to wait till 11th edition till that goes away.
A minimum of 6 months at least before we even find out if they're interested in looking at it. So we just have to accept it is what it is and use it the best we can.
Yeah, it's just gonna be one of those things where if it goes off, it's great. If not, you know, like, you shouldn't plan around it. But especially now that battle line don't get the +1 bonus. Well, Danny, what would you like to talk about first? Would you like to talk about Host of Ascension or Claw?
Let's talk about Host. I think Host is the index. Host is what I think a lot of people have been looking at. It makes sense to start with this one. Let you start the discussion on this. You know this one better than I do. I'm not a big fan. You are. We'll have a very interesting opposite viewpoint on this one.
Yeah, for sure. No, I mean, and that's what one of the things, like, I was actually really happy to kind of talk about this, because you, like, from the get-go, like, you have been, like, trying everything else but, and as soon as I started, like, kind of messing with it, I was like, oh my god, I'm in love with this. So, anyway, yeah, I'll kind of get started. So, Hosts of Ascension, yes, it is the Index Detachment, but it does not play like the Index Detachment does. Like, in a basic overhead view, like, yes, it is drop down, shoot, do damage, sure. It still does that thing. It is the Deep Strike, you know, detachment. Mm-hmm. However, it is much, much more about board control than I think that the Index was. Like, the Index did have elements to that, like, especially I know how you guys were doing in Poland, you know, a lot more fan of, like, four bricks of neophytes, like, more neophyte heavy, you know, with still the Acolyte, you know, drops. This one is, I think, board control is the 100% the name of the game, more so than necessarily doing damage, but the damage is still there. So I think the big selling point for this is if people are wanting to continue really utilizing the shooting phase in GSC, I think this is still the detachment to do it. It is still the shooting detachment, but it is not. Yeah, but it is not the I'm going to drop 10 acolytes and blow something up. Like, spoiler, I don't even have acolytes in this list anymore. I don't even bring with bombs. Like, I am bringing acolytes with hand flamers, but with all flamers, not with bombs. So, with these reviews, it's going to be a little bit less of, you know, me reading out every single detachment and every single enhancement and stuff like that, because I think by now everyone kind of knows what everything does. But I will, like, kind of go over, like, the highlights. So, first off, you're still getting your sustained, and you're still getting your ignores cover whenever you come in from reserves until the end of your fight phase, so that's still very good. Ignores cover in a edition where everything has cover is fantastic. People really get used to thinking that they have essentially a plus one to their armor save at all times, and that getting rid of that is big. Until the end of the fight phase, so, you know, rapid ingress is still, you know, a very good way to utilize that rule and creatively. Enhancements, so we have some pretty good ones. I'm pretty happy with, honestly, all of them. The big three is, you know, a chink in their armor, which is lethal whenever you come in from reserves. Huge. So, sustained and lethal. Assassination Edict for plus one to hit against character units. I mean, in 10th edition, that's almost everything, right? Like, almost everything of importance is a character unit. And one of my favorite enhancements in the entire book is Our Time Is Nigh, which is a plus two, is a once per game, but a once per game plus two to the charge roll, which means you can do 7-inch charges out of Deep Strike on models who are getting sustained out of Deep Strike. That is absolutely money. That is huge. I mean, I think a 7-inch charge out of, so a 7-inch charge is a 59% chance or something on the first try. But with the reroll, I think it goes up to an 89% chance, more or less. I'm sure someone can correct my math. But you are more than likely not always going to hit that, especially if you have a CP in the bank. So, yeah. I mean, I think in terms of enhancements, they have really good ones. The other one is the...
What'd you put it on? The Biophagus?
Yeah, so I put that on. So I put Our Time Is Nigh on the Biophagus. I put Assassination Edict on a Benefictus. And then I put Chink in Their Armor on a Primus. So that's where I'm going with now. So what do you think about the enhancements, Danny, so far?
Yeah, I like the enhancements. I have a massive problem with them as well, but I think we'll come to that later when I decide to be a bit more negative about it. But I want to highlight why I think there's problems with the detachment, but this will come later. So from a positive perspective, the chink is insane. Like, chink is really... obviously, people can get annoyed by someone saying chink. Chink in the armor is
good. We all know what we're talking about, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Chink in the armor is a really good enhancement. I think it's better than our time is nigh, just because you do have ingress if you need it. However, our time is still pretty good. My only issue with that is once per battle. I hate the fact that it's once per battle. Assassination edict is solid. I'm not sure I'd put it on a benefactor myself. I think that it's a bit more. I'm not sure you want to shoot at a. I suppose you could actually, because you could split fire, obviously. You could shoot the benefactor into something else. But I.
Usually he has been. Like, usually, like, whenever they're coming down, they're usually split firing.
Personally, I prefer prowling. I always prefer prowling to something like Assassination Edict. And there's a variety of reasons why I think... All right, I'll just say it now. The problem I have with this detachment is the agency for your mobility is no longer yourself, it's your opponent. Yes. As we've seen, and we'll go into it, there's no more you select when you return to the shadows. So the problem with that is whilst you're no more uppy-downy, you've got to really strategically place where you drop and where you want to deal your damage. With that in mind, that means sometimes a chink in their armor, which is a really good enhancement, can go to waste. Same with an assassination edict. If your opponent's smart, they can go to waste with that. Whereas Prowling Adjutant is a little bit more, hey, I'm in this area, I can defend this area, or I can use it to move block and things like that. I really like this. Because it allows you then to save, if you position correctly, you can save other units with like chink or edict, because you can move and you can move in front of them, things like that. So I really like anything that gives you the ability to move. Prowling for me was always the best enhancement in these detachments.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, if I could take four, I would.
Yeah, that'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I'd probably take all of them. But yeah, for sure, there's. And that's something like with every single detachment, like there is going to be obvious weaknesses. And I mean, I think right now with this book, I mean, it's going to be like, where does each player, every detachment has its gold, and like, it's going to be like, how can each player utilize, like dig for that gold a little bit better? You know what I mean? That's really why you're going to play it. But for sure. No, 100%, like all valid like concerns. I'll go through the rest, and then I'll kind of talk about like the list I have for it, and then we could kind of like tear it apart a little bit more. So there are three pretty there's one great, two pretty good, and three sure they exist strats. So the pretty great one, or the great one, is Primed and Ready, which is crit hits on 5+. You don't need to come in from deep strike. Yeah, exactly. You don't need to come in from deep strike. It's not like when you come in from reserves, like it is just all the time. And you can use it in melee and you can use it in shooting. Holy fuck. My God. Like many other people, I was like, when I saw what they did to neophytes, my fucking heart like just broke. I'm like, you are box locking neophytes, and you're nerfing like seismic shots. Like, what are we doing? However, like I said earlier, every unit has its place in the codex, and a codex neophyte unit using Primed and Ready with a Primus with chink in their armor does more damage than a index neophyte unit. It does more damage. So I did it there are some profiles that like might swing a little bit, but like overall, and that was into like mega knobs and, you know, like rate or whatever, you know, I did a variety of different a variety of different like profiles that, so in most profiles, the Host of Ascension, like Neophyte unit with all those buffs, does more damage. Because now your shitty little like auto guns that you never used to shoot, like actually are a threat, because now they are sustained and lethal on fives and sixes. AP one, you know, ignores cover. AP one, obviously, because you're gonna have a Ridge Runner. Oh yeah, I guess I should say now. Ridge Runners now also work in melee too, which is
this is
really
by far the best change in the entire book. Yeah. This is the best buff.
It makes metamorphs are fucking scary now. Like, it makes so many things more viable than they used to be. But yes, primed and ready, like, so, and a couple and another thing with primed and ready, now obviously, like, there's no rider, you just get to use it. It's one CP, and at first I saw, oh my god, it's a battle tactic, it's gonna get instantly vected. Vect no longer works how it used to. It is now the aura of just plus one CP to a strat, which, I mean, for a lot of melee armies, can be a problem, like, especially on, like, was it the Swarm Lord for Tyranids, I think, mm-hmm. is the one who had mm-hmm. who has it, and then the Drukhari, the Archon, like, those guys carrying that aura around, that's a problem, like, for melee armies. But for the I drop and shoot things detachment is a lot less of a problem versus just the Kaladesh saying, oh yeah, that's plus one CP now. Like, and I exist on the other side of the field and there's nothing you can do about it. So very huge. Nexus, I still think has I'll kind of go over that whenever I go over my list. Coordinated trap. I think it's still the exact same thing. 2 CP, pick 2 units, plus 1 to wound against an enemy unit. I think it's still valid. Like, there's uses for it whenever you need to use it. Like, I think a good player, like, can use this to their advantage when something just has to die. Tunnel crawlers. So, 3-inch deep strike still exists. It got the little rider of, like, it only matters for battle line to get 3, and then everything else is 6, but, like, we were already only using it on battle line for the most part, so, you know, mm-hmm. still there. And, okay, so, big thing, Return to Shadows. I should actually say, I am a... It's... This is such a fucking hard strat to, like, really unpack. Yeah, so you are relying on your opponent to do the thing to make that strat work. Now it's only one unit instead of 2, and if you're and you have to be shot to basically go. But after they are done rolling all the shots and rolling all their damage, that unit, you know, if it's still alive, comes back, you can drag them back into deep strike. There have been times and situations where it has been better than old Return to Shadows, and then there have been situations where it has been worse. The big one being like orcs. Like, you were seeing that orcs game. He didn't have to shoot me a single fucking time. Like right, like into mm-hmm. a melee army that doesn't exist. Like, into a melee army, it's just worse. Granted, I think in the meta, there are going to be some melee armies kind of tuned down a little bit, especially with the Vect being an aura. I could see that, like, maybe toning down a little bit of melee. I don't know how much. That's just me, like, guessing. But, like, into melee armies is just objectively worse. But into mm-hmm. shooting armies, it could really put your opponent, like, into Tau. Like, it can really put a Tau player into, like, a weird situation of, like, I have 40 OC on an objective, and if you shoot me, you probably aren't going to kill 20 neophytes in one activation, and then whoop, they're back up. And guess what? Now the icon works in the command phase instead of the movement phase, so now I'm able to drag them back up, heal the things I need to heal flat 3 models in neophytes, and then be able to drop them back down and reuse, like, a chink in their armor. So if that was the unit, or they don't shoot them and then they just exist, and then you have 40 OC on primary. So it is definitely one of those things where it's like the onus is now on your opponent. It's not on you. You can't, like, the whole being able to string your neophytes in such a way that, you know, you could pull one, some to die to coherency, you can still drag it back up. Like, that doesn't really exist anymore. But at the same time, like, kind of like you said, you can, if you are a smart player, if you are a really smart player, you can do some kind of, like, insane things with that stratagem. So in some ways, you know, I could say overall it is worse, but if you use the army kind of in the way that it wants to be used, it can also be kind of a side grade. I don't know. What do you think? I guess overall,
I think,
of the threats.
I think it's good. So there are situations where you can sort of, like, you've got your big unit with Primus, Nexus, or whatever, with Jink and the Rama. You can put it on an objective, deep strike it. It's not a 3-inch deep strike unit. But then you can wrap, sort of, like, create yourself a protective barrier with other neophytes. Mm-hmm. And if you're on the objective, you're then forcing your opponent to have to kill them, shoot them, run the risk of not killing them, and then you can go return to the shadows, or... and they can't charge you because you've wrapped yourself. So I think there are scenarios where it's really good. For me, it's not one of the better stratagems. There's two stratagems that are the best. So obviously prime and ready, but not for the reasons that you've mentioned. The reason for me that it's best is it makes you immune to stealth, essentially. Because a crit, it doesn't say a successful hit. It just says a 5+ is a critical hit.
Oh, so by the rules, then a critical hit always hits, right?
It always hits. So you wanna. This is why in this detachment, like demo charge, acolytes are probably the most successful, because it's the only thing that allows them to actually be efficient, because they hit on their fives. The other one is the stratagem lying in wait. The biggest problem that obviously GSE has is blips. It's a shit mechanic. Let's not lie. What lying in wait does is allows you to come outside of a blip whenever someone deep strikes near you to prevent you from getting out of a blip.
They have to, yeah. And I'll just say, Dan, real quick, in case anyone, like, doesn't know, like, the lying in wait extends your blip from being wholly within 3 to wholly within 6. So your blip radius is now bigger to bring your unit back in from cold ambush. All right, you're good, Dan. Just want to
clarify. Absolutely. So the way the ambush works is if a unit ends a move, not from deep strike, ends a move within 9 inches of a blip, the blip is destroyed. However, mm-hmm. deep strike unit can come within 9 inches of a blip. It isn't destroyed because you've not ended a move, but you can't get out because the rule doesn't allow you to. However, this does allow you to get bypass that restriction. So you can get out wholly within 6 inches of that marker and not within engagement range of it one or more enemy units. It doesn't, this might be, like, I don't know, FAQ'd out or whatever, but from the way I completely understand it and others do, is this allows you to bypass the restriction that other units, the blips have with deep strike, which is really, really good, really strong. So you can then start aggressively putting blips forward. It only works on a battle line unit, but, like, when you've got neophytes and stuff like that, battle line units are what you're important at. But you can absolutely throw out something and help do a nice overwatch if they charge or whatever, but it does allow you to be a bit more mobility, I would say, which is
nice. Yeah, I think I could see that interpretation. I didn't have that initial interpretation whenever I looked at it. I mean, I saw it as just, like, extending. But I guess, yeah, it does say, like, you could just place it wholly within 6. Mm-hmm. Saying you could just... Because I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, enhancements and stratagems overrule core rules, right? Whenever...
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. I mean... It might be one of those things where there's not nearly enough GSC players for this to even matter. But well, yeah, I mean,
if the rider, of not being within engagement range of one or more enemy units is kind of what allows this.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that wasn't there, then the strat would be make sense, but you can't be in engagement range anyway, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's I think almost like totally replacing the... Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Feel free to correct us if anyone's listening, if there's a TL that wants to like get in that fight, but I would 100% say this is how the stratagem works, and if it does, that's a really good strat.
Yeah, and of course you may do that on the Ascension Day Discord that you'll find in the link below. So here, I mean, I guess I'll just go over my list and kind of what I've been playing. So I've gotten five and a half games, because my first game I kind of did versus myself, just to kind of like put stuff on. But
let me guess, you won.
No, I got smashed, dude. Gabe was too good. So overall, the theme of it has been, I started with one brick of neophytes, then I went to two bricks of neophytes, now I'm at three bricks of neophytes. And I think that is, I am slowly understanding like the theme of what Host of Ascension kind of wants you to do. Now the primed and ready, what you were saying, does kind of make me a little bit more interested in Bomb Acolytes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not super impressed by losing that +3 has like actually been kind of huge. Like a lot bigger than what I thought it would be. And I also would rather 3-inch neophytes, I've discovered too, than acolytes in this detachment.
Yeah.
So 3-inching. Yeah. But it does make it like a thing you could do. Okay, hold on, where are we? Okay, there's the list. Okay, cool. The name of this list is They're Coming Out of the Fucking Walls. Because that's what I feel like I'm doing. So here's so the list starts with my little cute bit of tech, and it's two solo bombinants. I like them. I mean, yes, they give up assassinate, but I don't know how much. I'm still, I don't know. And they also are good to just like deep strike and do shit. I mean, coming back on a 2-up and them having 4 las cannon hammers, I've been enjoying. But I mean, either way, 2 Benefictuses, 1 with Assassination Edict, a Biophagus with Our Time Is Nigh, a single Nexus, a single Primus with a chink in their armor, and a Sanctus. Right now, my Sanctus has a sniper because he's modeled with that. But I mean, the dagger's also very good too. I mean, the dagger might probably even be better. Just not being able to be overwatched and go and slash people up with damage 2 attacks is pretty good. I had the sniper, like I said, because it's modeled, and it's like the reactive move, like the flat 6 reactive move, is also cute. But you know, I could be convinced either way. I have 2 5-man acolytes with auto pistols, and with the heavy mining tools. I've felt like in every kind of detachment, it's just been nice to kind of have the ability to have that anti-vehicle 4-up. Also, they're the ones who give you the CP. They're the CP farming guys, which has been with the advent of there being a lot more cards. Not a lot more, but now 18 cards. I think having that CP, that 4-up CP farm, has been nice in times where it's like, oh, I actually want to accomplish both of these. 1 unit of 5 acolytes with flamers, all flamers. 1 unit of 10 acolytes with flamers, also all flamers. 3 bricks of neophytes, all kitted out the exact same. Again, they're box locked, so it's shotguns plus 2 seismics, 2 mining lasers, 2 Webers, 2 grenade launchers. I think if you want to take flamers instead of Webers, that's fine too. I mean, the Webers are nice because it kind of gives you that little bit of extra punch potential punching upwards, but you know, with the dev wounds. But the flamers are also, I think, fine too. A unit of aberrants, which I'm sure you are shaking your head at, but it's fine. We'll talk about it. 3 Ridge Runners and then 5 Pure Strains. And that's it. That's 2,000 points exactly on the nose. Overall, on the nose. Overall, what is this? What is this detachment doing? You're still kind of doing. I'm still kind of doing like what the index did, just in a different way. And I'm not even a little bit. I would say quite a bit different. It's a lot of split firing. It's a lot of like sending mining lasers in Benefictus one way, you know, sending seismics plus shotguns another way. Your positioning, I think, is much more important because if you, like you said, if you want to be able to use Return to the Shadows, it has to be. And along with that, there are going to be times where the neophytes, where they drop is where they're going to be, you know, plus and minus 6 inches of movement per turn. So that's really important. Only a single Primus. So the math says that a Benefictus with chink in their armor for like mid toughness, like T6, T5, T6 bodies, the Benefictus with chink in their armor does more damage than a Primus does. And especially now that the Benefictus just gives all the time lethal versus the Primus with chink of their armor only giving lethal when they drop. I should also say the assassination edict also works all the time. It doesn't need to, it's not, you don't need to come in from deep strike for the plus one to hit to work. So that also means that Benefictus is always getting that plus one against character units. And then again, chinking their armor, getting lethals on fives. Like, while it is much, much more powerful on the drop turn, you know, when you have Ridge Runners with Survey Augers to ignore cover and still get the plus one AP, and, you know, you're getting the lethals on fives and sixes, it's still a decent amount of damage. Like, it's still enough that, like, people can't disrespect it. The Aberrance is I'm a slut for Aberrance, man. It's so hard for me to put them down. However, I think in this detachment with the Our Time Is Nigh Biophagus, them coming out of deep strike with, you know, sustained and lethal five ups, does kind of make up for a lot of like the damage for their minus one damage and then some. They can do disgusting things out of deep strike. It is a very expensive unit still. It is 300 points for 10 of them. However, you have
it's
a...
It's not 300 points, though, is it? It's 300 points plus the...
Plus 50. 50 plus for the Biophagus. Plus
20? Is it for a 20?
20. So 370... But I mean, that's still what is it? I think that's an 80 point.
That's still cheaper than he was, right?
It's not cheap. Now, again, into the right army, they may not want to be shot. You know, I mean, because you could still use. I'm pretty here. Let me double check. I haven't had to use it. Oh, shoot, hold on. I haven't had to use Return the Shadows on them yet because people have been like pretty smart. But let me tell. I have a fancy brand new codex in front of me now, so I can just scroll to this.
Did you get the expensive one, or did you get the
no GW when they gave me those rules? I was like, I'm not paying for your fucking expensive codex. Like, you should give if you gave me Sisters levels rules, I would have paid for it. But it's fine. No, it's just Gene Stealer Cole Infantry. So Return of the Shadow still works on them. That is a thing. So one of the things, I'm lying. I did use it once. So I rapid ingress them. You know, they're still getting all of their buffs. They're just sustained and lethal and all that good shit. Rapid ingress them. They came in, they killed some shit. They got shot in return. I yanked them back up. And then I never used their Our Time Is Nigh. So then the next turn, I just, you know, 9-inch deep strike them and then rolled a 7-inch charge. And then I got to do all of that again. So if anyone tells me, Gabe, I'm just not going to bring Aberrance, that's a lot of points. I think I'd rather take some Metamorphs or the Biophagus and then have more shit. I am not arguing with you. I think that is an 100% correct take.
I think they still can
fucking slap. They can,
I think,
and especially
versus, like, I think versus shooty armies, they're really relevant because they can just abuse Return to the Shadows. Like, they either have to kill, they either have to shoot 10 Aberrants, that's probably taken, like, go to ground, so they get invulnerable save or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And because they are on an objective, or they're about to charge something, or they just allow you to do whatever you want with the Aberrants, it's really good against shooty armies. Like, Tau, for example, that might not necessarily kill most of the Aberrants in one go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But now that cyclics are gone. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I can see a world where there is a good viability, but then it all depends entirely on if you're going to come against a lot of shooting meta or not, which I don't think you would. I think you would come against more shooty than melee in the US just because of how your tables are designed. So
yeah,
I do think, I definitely think there's a lot more use and a much better use case for them over there.
Yeah, I think, you know, GW and UKTC kind of lend themselves to a more shooty meta. And I know, especially like in the DC area, like apart from orcs, like shooting was still like the name of the game. So that's basically what I'm running. And a lot of it is just to try and creatively use the rules as much as I can.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of creativity plays, and there's a lot of... for me, it's very much about setting up scenarios for your opponent to have to... You know, they either go play into your hand one way or the other. Mm-hmm. That is probably part of the skill cap, so being able to set up the correct return to shadow placements and things like that, or... Yeah. So that is the right... skill. It's just whether you are in a position where you can utilize that at the highest level.
I think like right now I've been lucky to play against some pretty good players lately who have been I got to play a game into Kit Smith Hanna's Tyranids, which was unfun, but it's all right. But the army has been getting, I think the detachment has been feeling a lot better with every iteration. But anyway, I want to give you Danny, because I know you're on a bit of a timeline. I want to give you time to talk about Outlander Claw. So why don't we go ahead and transition into that?
Yeah, sure. So Outlander, interesting. So I was playing originally Biosanctic when I got the Codex. Then I switched to Xenocreed, mostly because I just like that playstyle. However, Xenocreed also has some problems, which I'm sure TJ might pick up in when you discuss. If not, we can discuss it another time. And then I spoke to Eric Lathouris, who is, you know, he was the Australian captain, you know, really big GSC player. And he's been constantly raving to me about bikes. He did the bike build in 9th. He was raving to me about bikes, how we can't, you know, bikes are the build. So I've been playing with, so I've got a list, I tested it, I played it, I've done 12 games since Saturday, and I've come to the conclusion it is probably the way to go. Obviously, I don't think Host is terrible at all by any standards. I think it's just, it's hard to read. You go through a lot of hoops in order to get your output, which is what I don't particularly like, because... Mm-hmm. The problem with that is then if your opponent is a little too aggressive in their push, you might not be able to survive the hoops that you've got to go through. So that's why I'm not really... I'll eventually go with Host, because, you know, you got to put your money where your mouth is and fully test it, and then come back and say, hey, actually, I was right or I was wrong. So I will do, but I'm looking at the bikes. And the reason why I'm looking at the bike build at the minute is it plays the game the way the game... requires you to play when you're a squishy army. So what do I mean by that? First and foremost is, for everyone that doesn't know, the bike build gives you double DOC, but it also gives you sticky on bike. So right now, if we look at Pariah Nexus, what does Pariah offer us? It offers, if you go second, you have a ridiculously stupid way to cap primary if you take secret missions. So if you go second, you have a bonus. Really good. On most missions, it's really good to take secret missions if you play correctly. And the way you do that, very quickly, the way you would do that is obviously you can't do it if you've got less, more primary than your opponent. You allow them to have like one extra objective than you the entire game until the end of turn three. Then you're like, right, I'm going to take secret missions, play defensively, and then push to get your 15 or whatever it is, plus whatever else you get bonuses because you're scoring at the end of your turn rather than start of your turn. So you can get like 30 to 38 primary or something like that, whilst you're actively denying your opponent primary or game. It's very strong. So you've got that. But then if you go first, you've also got the benefit of you're providing sticky objectives. Now, why is that good? The reason for that is you know, start the turn, start the game, you're going to scout move, you've protected yourself because you've got pure strains. You sticky your objectives, and then you play the denial game against your opponent whilst protecting those objectives with move blocking and things like that. Now, that doesn't sound too good. That's like, oh, but it doesn't have a lot of damage. It might not survive. The entire detachment is built around mobility and survivability, not damage. So we've got stratagems like whenever something comes within 9 inches, ends a move 9 inches of your bike or ridge runners, you can then move a normal move of 6 inches rather than D6. So that's really strong because that allows you to then reposition or move your bikes to block the remainder of their army, not allowing your opponent to get two objectives. So that's a really strong playstyle. And that's backed up by things like you've got a reposition stratagem. So if you've got ridge runners on one flank at the end of your opponent's fight phase, you can reposition them to the other flank.
Yeah,
you're playing a lot of longevity in this detachment. Is things survivable in melee? Absolutely not. However, then you can just take away, as we discussed, things like metamorphs. You take them with your locus. Now that heroic intervention is 1 CP, thank you to Prior Nexus, you're able to just, you know, you can play a much better game. So I'm really liking the bike build. I think it's the best one. The only problem is, I do see the issue is that it's not a playstyle that everybody enjoys. Your damage is not obvious. You're not just charging the opponent and tabling them with your melee. You're not deep striking and precision targeting where you want to go. You're playing a completely different game. And the whole point of it is to try and keep momentum, push, prevent with movement. So if you're really good at the micro level of the game, this is a fantastic detachment. If you're not and you want to learn a little bit more about the damage, it's not for you. It does have damage, but it's not like you have to really target your opponent with the right unit. So for example, an example I used the other day, I played against Ward Eaters, and in one turn, Angron is dead. Angron is dead. How? You've got mortal wounds from the bikes, you've got the grenade strat, you've got telemorph shooting, AP 2 to 3 dev wounds, you've got minor laser shooting. Then you've got things like rock grinders, tank shock. You've got so much access to mortal wounds and dev wounds. So much access to just being able to kill 2 to 3 units a turn that is really important whilst blocking others. So I think that's a bit of a quick, like a quick assessment of how it works. If we go into like the enhancements, all right, the enhancements are pretty okay. You've got the cartographic, which gives you put on a Benefictus. It sits in a transport. It gives whatever firing deck weapons it uses plus one ballistic skill, which sounds great, except you can't throw demo charges out of a transport anymore. Seismics, mental. Seismics or neophytes don't really benefit from firing deck that much anymore. Yeah, the benefit is sure because he can hit on two. So if you want to throw three of them in a transport, that's 240 points. It's not ideal. Although they are pretty good, to be fair. Considering they're like AP3 ignore cover, loud cannons. So I don't. Then you can look at things like Starfall shells that just gives one unit minus one a hit. Now, if Tau or Guard were just like really prevalent in the meta, fantastic. But most of the time, they're not. Or Assault Commando, you can reroll the hit roll for the unit. But again, who wants to throw 10 neophytes? I don't really like the enhancements. The stratagems for me are the best in the entire codex in this one. And that is really where it plays. I realize that's a very quick assessment of the bike.
No, I think it all makes perfect sense. And it kind of goes back to like kind of what we were talking about at the beginning of the episode. Is this is a perfect example of all of the teeth. It's not all in one thing now. It's all spread around. It's like you said, like you can move block with the bikes, and then you have like a couple activations with rock grinders, which can, you know, still do decent damage. And now I am surprised about you not. Do you include Serpentine Tactics as an enhancement?
No, right now, my list has zero enhancements.
Has zero enhancements, okay.
And the reason for that is, all right, Serpentine Tactics, it sounds great. Until you come to the realization that if your opponent wants to kill your bike squad, they are going to kill your bike squad. It's got a 5-up save. The toughness 4. All right, they've got stealth. Serpentine Tactics versus a melee army, it's irrelevant. You're dead. Yeah. Versus a shooty army,
still probably irrelevant.
it's irrelevant. All right, you can spend 1 CP and a 4-up invulnerable save. Fantastic. But you're going to die. But the whole point of this, you going to die, is your opponent most of the time is going to fall back. They're not worried. They shouldn't really give you a way that you can touch them, but you can't wrap with bikes, especially maybe on GW terrain, but not really on UKTC, WTC, which is what we play over here. So you're paying points for an enhancement that honestly is maybe you use once. It doesn't do much because you can still use your grenades anyway when you fall back. The biker grenades, not the grenade strap, when you fall back anyway. So you're paying points on a unit that I don't see the point of it. I don't see the return. There's not much return on investment. Plus, I don't always have Jackal Alphas with the bikes. Reason for that is some matchups you might want to use it to block. Some matchups you might want to use it to escape. Other matchups you don't. So I don't want to be fixated into that playstyle. Into just you know, that one decision. So I actually take none of the enhancements, which is really sad.
Yeah. And you know, maybe with points changes, you know, maybe some of these could get a little bit like sexier. Like, you know, if or with acolytes, like with hand flamers, maybe take a little bit more than maybe like a Benefictus with assault commando. You know, maybe being possibly a thing, so that way you're rerolling all hits, all wounds with lethal out of a transport with bombs. But you know, I think that again that also forces you kind of into a particular playstyle of like, oh, I have to have a party bus now, and this party bus kind of has to be moved up the field.
Absolutely, there is absolutely a world where you can do that, and you would take that. However, right now there is so much, what I've noticed is so much minus one to hit, so much stealth in the meta that it's not really worthwhile. There is definitely a world potentially later down the line where that becomes a key unit, because like the reroll with the grenades. The problem with the grenades is you need to reroll everything because they hit on fives. Rerolling everything so that they auto wound on sixes is really good. However, I found at the minute the best points investment I found is just going with bare bone 5 to 10 man flamer units.
Yeah.
No demo charges, just flamers. Not even an icon, just flamers. Apart from if it's a 10 man, take an icon. If not, just take flamers. Reason for that is they reroll all wound rolls in melee as well. So if you've got a Ridge Runner that's AP2, it's strength 4, you might wound on sixes, but when you've got 32 attacks hitting on threes, 5 of them wound on 5s against toughness 9 to 8 or 9, or the old wound on 6s against toughness 10 onwards, but you're rerolling all wound rolls and it's AP2, it can actually do a decent chunk for their points cost.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I've been really impressed with all hand flamers. Like I said, that's what I have in my list currently. I don't even have any of the bombs. I just think the hand flamers are very consistent, and they do a very good job of just dropping down, just rinsing, you know, like dudes who are just chilling, or even like you said, even finishing off wounds on a high toughness target, like AP one, like ignores cover, like is, and rerolling all the wounds, like is really nice. Like, I 100% agree.
Beautiful profile, absolutely. I really rate them. My list has got my list for this weekend's tournament is 25. So it's just 5 lots of 5 acolytes of hand flamers. No icons at all because they just die anyway. But that's a lot of screen killing. That's a lot of chaff killing. And obviously, right now in Pariah, the aim of the game is to kill the units that do actions, because actions are so prevalent and so powerful. So if you can do that, you're laughing. It's really good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, it only helps matters that they're battle line. So that way, if you run into the mission that gives them, like, advance and shoot or whatever, advance and do actions, like, now they're just paying for themselves, you know, tenfold. Mm-hmm. No, I at first I was a little less impressed with the claw. I mean, I rated it a little bit lower, but now, like, you know, definitely talking to you and talking to like some of the guys who have been like testing, I could see it plays Pariah Nexus very well.
It plays Pariah Nexus. This is it. Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, and at the end of the day, there's only 5 rounds in Warhammer. You only need to deny, then get, you know, like you said, your 2 turns of like secret mission, or just keep your primary and just like push super hard. You only need to do that for 5 turns. And, you know, like, I think Jackals, you know, have the stat line to like just get by with that. Like, they're not going to just stand there and take it. But like, they can just like squeak through and score those points, and, you know, kind of have the movement shenanigans to be able to like get you where you need to go. So I can absolutely see, like for me, it's not really the way I'd want to play the army, but like, that's what's I really think beautiful about this codex is you do have 5 different ways of playing the army. Like, the 5 detachments are wholly different. Like Claw and HOA might as well be different armies. Like,
absolutely.
Like, and I think that's something that I'm really happy with GW about with the codex.
Yeah, they do this really well with GSC. They did it in 9th. 9th GSC was the most fun army I've ever played in my entire life. And yeah, they just really well create these playstyles. Power, you know, it peaks and troughs, but the playstyle is what's important. And this is what people should take away, is they find a playstyle they enjoy. It will get buffed if it's crap. Well, not. If it will get buffed if it's got low power eventually. But GSC is always the army that if it is player skill dependent rather than sort of it being a really strong army.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think with I mean, you know, I'm going to talk about Brew Brothers in the next episode. Other than Brew Brothers, which even Brew Brothers, I'm sure that there's some magic in there, and we're going to explore it. Like, all these detachments, I think, like, there's a way forward with all of them for you to be able to win, I think, a GT. Like, it's all going to come down to, like, are you putting in the reps, which has always been GSC. Like, that's always been the nature of the army, is like the ones who practice the most and put in the most reps are usually the ones who are going to see the most success out of it. But I mean, so overall, Danny, like, what are your thoughts? How are you feeling? How are you think you're going to be sticking with GSC kind of moving forward, or
I'm always the kind of person that plays the Poison Army when it's at its weakest anyway. I enjoy the challenge. So I'm annoyed for people. I'm not annoyed that GSC is weaker than other armies. I'm annoyed that GW has absolutely zero fucking consistency. And they are so bad at creating rules that GSC has limitations on some stratagems. Let's compare it to Sisters. They have no limitations on some stratagems. GSC has some stratagem, Sisters have the same, but better. I'm not annoyed that it's a weaker army. I enjoy the challenge. I'm just very, very tired of GW having this inconsistency. And if they manage to fix that, hallelujah. But right now, it's just, I find it exhausting. I do enjoy playing this army, though.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I think the have and the have-nots has always been, like, a contentious point. And, if we would have came out at the same time of like Custodes, I think we would have probably had like a much different initial reaction. But it was, just coming out at the same time as Sisters was just like salt in the wound. It's like, come on, guys. Like, what are we doing here?
I always compare the Xenocreed stratagem where you can pick a unit to advance, and then compare that to the Sisters stratagem where they can advance and charge, but the advance and charge and move 6 inches. I'm like, yeah. Why, if they made this at the same time, why the bloody hell is that? Is there no consistency in them too? So it's things like that. That's just, those things annoy me, but yeah, there's nothing you can do about it.
No, I think the only thing that we're kind of like lucky with is I think points are going to kind of continue to favor us over the next MFMs. You know, I'm sure we will see more point drops because I don't think that the army is going to be great coming out, like in terms of a win rate, which is probably really nice for us. So that way we can continue to see a lot of these point drops.
Absolutely. So I think the last thing for me then, before we stop this, is what do you think the win rate will be until the next MFM?
I think it's going to be middling. I don't think it's going to be very high. I think it's going to be 42%, 40 to 42%. I think it's going to be really low because the army, and I think it's going to be because the army plays completely different than the index.
Yeah.
Even Host of Ascension, even the index detachment does not play the way that the index does. Like it is different enough that I think that it's going to require a good few, like 6 months of like people getting used to the codex. And I think a lot of people are also dropping off the codex as well.
As it's gotten weaker, a lot of people have shifted to stronger armies, which will
impact. But kind of like we talked about, like while on the surface it is weaker, there is still like a lot of game in this codex and a game in places that we even used to have before. So I'm still like, I'm having a blast playing GSC right now. Like I'm like all of my games, even games I've lost, there have been times where it's been very frustrating. I hate that I have to roll fives to make my units worth their points. But it's still been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun. I see the juice. I see the juice in the army. It's there. It's just one of those things where it's like, I just need to be a better player. And then I think people can easily have success with this, like if they put in the work.
But, I agree.
Yeah. What about you? What do you think?
I reckon about 42%. Just going for a really specific number that I think people will struggle at first. You say, like there's profiles that it can't deal with. There's profiles that it will just die. People are used to a certain level of survivability, which has gone down, which is going to be key. And as people get used to more prior as well, dealing with having to do more actions and survive a bit longer to ensure some actions are successful, etc., or dealing with high pressure armies because some deployment zones are a lot closer. I think there's going to be a hit as people learn that. But once we get more love in the MFM or people figure it out a little bit more, then I'm sure it'll rise quite substantially.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. And I think with guys like you, Danny, and with Meissen, and with Alex, and with TJ, like, and with all the other, you know, like amazing players out there, Dustin Henshaw, like, I think that we are going to be able to get that juice, and I am excited for what we are going to be, you know, a few months from now, with maybe a little bit of MFM massaging. But anyway, Danny, thank you so much, man, for hopping on the show. Really always happy to have these conversations, and if you have any like last minute shout outs or anything you want to plug, like now's your time.
I've got a meeting now, so I need to jump off, but thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure as always. I will see you in the Discord.
Absolutely. All right, guys, thanks for listening. Be looking out for part two coming soon. You guys have a good one.